I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul insists, as he introduces himself to the Romans and as he introduces his longest and spiritually richest of letters. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, he tells them. And we might wonder why he needs or wants to say that. The gospel, the good news, it's central, it's foundational to our Christian faith, to the life of the church. Surely we heard gospel or good news 9 times as we listened to our ministry of the word. Why would anyone be ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ? Well, the answer, I think, might come if we consider Rome in the first century and what it looked like, what it was. Rome, that city of vast wealth, the centre of the empire with all of its power and armies, with the threat of violence to keep its supremacy. Rome with all its temples and gods, Jupiter and Venus, and those living gods, as they claimed, who called themselves emperors. Rome with its culture of games and entertainments, theatre, brothels and baths, and all the things that went on within them. Paul is addressing Rome, the eternal city, with all that glamour and fun, fame and excitement, riches, power and glory. He's come to proclaim a gospel about Jesus Christ. You might be ashamed and embarrassed to do this, because you're telling the proud Romans that the true power comes from God. His is the salvation. And the true God is the God of Israel, the God of the Jews, that small, awkward, different, cantankerous group. And the truth of that Jewish God is revealed in Jesus, a crucified reject of Rome, executed in shame by the empire. And yet Paul says Jesus' life and death are life-changing, culture-changing, world-changing, the gospel gift from God. Paul might have good reason, humanly speaking, to be embarrassed, to be ashamed of the gospel in writing to Rome. But he isn't, because he knows its power to change. He's known it himself on the Damascus Road, a life literally turned around by encountering the light of Christ. He's known its power in other individuals, in Philippi and Ephesus and Corinth and all sorts of other places. Liars, drunkards, corrupt carousers, immoral people, embracing a life of truth and goodness. He's seen the power of the gospel to change communal life among God's people, to make the church, where Jews and Gentiles are one, where men and women are not two different species, but one humanity united in Christ, where slaves and free are not aliens to each other, but must find ways to see each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Paul has known and shared the power of the gospel. He will not be ashamed thereof. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel, he has told the Corinthians. And that leads the question in my mind, are we ashamed of the gospel? Are we ever embarrassed of the good news of Jesus Christ? Maybe it's just me, but our church nationally, centrally, sometimes seems embarrassed, unable to announce the good news to our nation with conviction and clarity. We sometimes seem to find the assumptions of our society around us seeping into the life and thought of the church rather than being challenged by the good news from God. Bishops and vicars call themselves faith leaders, describe their churches as faith communities, as though they're one among many. I may have faith, and I sometimes try to lead, but I'm not a faith leader, I'm a priest. You are a community, you share in faith, but you're not a faith community like any other. You are the body of Christ. You are the bride of the Lord. You are the holy church of God. The idea, the gospel idea of marriage between one man and one woman exclusively for life. In some minds, both in the church as in the society outside, that's outdated, even troublesome and phobic. The gospel notion that God hallows and sanctifies human life from its earliest beginning to its very end, that sometimes seems to be something of which the church is ashamed. It feels at moments as though the gospel truth, the gospel gifts, are an embarrassment in our day and age. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel, says Paul, and it's my prayer and hope that we'd agree. Yet perhaps we're not immune from soft-peddling the good news of God on occasion. The church sometimes finds its security in other secondary things. We might trust in our history or the magnificence of our buildings to give us status in the community. We might rely upon the learning and scholarship of our ministers or the wealth of our church culture, our music, our material possessions, all the things the past has bequeathed us. We might be tempted to imagine that our future is secured not by the gracious good news of Jesus, but in the riches of all kinds that we think we hold and guard. And yet think again of Rome, that grand, glorious empire. It's gone. Just tumble-down buildings in Italy now. And all of our earthly bounty and material mortal resource, that will go the same way one day. So let us not be ashamed of the eternal gospel of Jesus. It's all we really truly have. Let us not corrupt it or edit it or soft pedal it, but rejoice and be glad in it. It is the power of God, the wisdom and power of the Lord, though it may sound like foolishness to the world. It is our hope and forgiveness, our salvation and life, our joy and our peace.